The first message in Operation Restoration was taking it all the way back to the foundation. And I must accept the Word of God as our full authority. One of the traits, one of the Baptist distinctives through the years and through generations has been that we believe in the authority of the Word of God. It is our final rule of faith and practice. We believe in the authority of the Word of God, and so you must start right there. I must accept that what God tells me in Genesis 1:1 is as accurate as what He tells me in John 3:16. And I accept that this book is given to us supernaturally. It is supernaturally inspired. It is supernaturally preserved. And through the process of illumination, that supernatural ability for the eyes of the individual to be opened by the Holy Spirit of God. And then we went to the ideal of marriage. What did God originally intend? Well, the Bible says that, number one, God created man. This is the second message. God created every one of us. We're not the product of chance. We are the product of a special creator. I don't know if you're into different news outlets and media outlets, but I've said for a long time that technology is outpacing the abortion argument. And this week, we had perhaps the smallest baby ever to survive. And that baby was born so premature, I can't recall exactly the number of weeks, but they do believe that this baby was perhaps the smallest baby ever to survive birth. And in fact, all of the medical professionals said to the parents, just anticipate that that baby will not make it more than 24 hours. The baby weighed 8.4 ounces when it was born. 8.4 ounces. And I tell you what, it is a gift of life. And I just read this week that that baby's going home from the hospital. And what an incredible story. The gift of life is ever so precious. We have life today because of the direct act of God. He made man, and secondly, He made marriage. He ordained that marriage would be between one man and one woman for one lifetime. He brought the woman to the man, and He said, "This is good." Last Sunday morning, we looked at Genesis chapter 3, and we saw how everything changed. Well, if God created man and God created marriage, if God intended for it to be one man and one woman for one lifetime, then when did it all change? Where did all of this go awry? Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that Adam chose to disobey God. There was one rule in the garden. They could not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says that Satan deceived Eve, and Eve gave of that fruit to her husband, and he took of that fruit, and he ate thereof. And the Bible says that he disobeyed Almighty God. He made a choice. And by that one man's sin, the Bible says that death has passed upon all of us. It is now a wage of our sin. It is a payment for our sin. And so death will come to every one of us. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. It is appointed. It is appointed that every single man will die. You say, "Pastor, that's depressing." I understand. And thank the Lord that the Bible does not end on that note, but it goes further. And it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it is my prayer this morning that even though we know sin in the first Adam, it is my desire that every person that is under the sound of the gospel, either right now in a live mode or on live stream, or perhaps in some future listening opportunity, it is my prayer that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, that you're on your way to heaven. In the second Adam, you can be saved for all eternity. Well, I hope you've got your Bibles handy this morning. We are going to springboard from Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to walk all the way through Scriptures, and we're going to see the effect that Genesis chapter 3 and this decision of Adam had upon marriage and the home. Now, I wish that I could go on some sort of 24/7 news outlet and declare that I believe that marriage is between one man and one woman for one lifetime, and that would be the end of the interview. But it's not possible to just make those statements, because you really have to have a longer look at the scriptures to understand how we got where we are. Pastor, how did we arrive at this place? It begins in Genesis chapter 3 when man decided to disobey Almighty God. That disobedience had an effect upon all men. As a result of that lust and that temptation and the disobedience that occurred in the garden, death has passed upon all men, and all of creation groaneth, the Bible says. So take your Bibles with me. Look what the Bible says in verse number 6. In Genesis chapter 3, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Right then, the Bible says that their biological clock started ticking. Adam and Eve had been created in perfection. They had known perfection. They had been in perfect communication with Almighty God. And now they found themselves naked and ashamed. And they hid themselves from the presence of Almighty God. And there are consequences for their sins. And Genesis chapter 3 unfolds all those consequences that would come to both Satan and to Adam and to Eve and to all of creation. But now go with me, if you would, and I want you to see how this has affected the home and marriage. Turn over with me to Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 19. Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 19. As we travel further into the book of Genesis, we find two different family lines. We're very familiar with the names of Cain and Abel, and the Bible says that Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel. But God raised up another seed, and that was the seed of Seth. And so we find the lines of Cain and Seth taking two different paths. And here is the nature of the man that flows forth from Cain's line. And this is what he says in Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 19. Genesis 4 and verse number 19. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, who was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah also, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. What do we find here? Again, we're going to work off of the ideal and what God originally intended. God originally intended one man and one woman for one lifetime. And yet here's a man in the line of Cain who decided that that plan was a bad plan. And so he chose to take unto himself two wives, and in doing so, he is mocking Almighty God's desire, Almighty God's plan, and he even, in the face of God, dares God to bring judgment upon his life. God was, of course, the one who brought judgment on Cain. And he says, look, in almost teasing or mocking God, if Cain's been judged sevenfold for what he's done, why, I'll be judged 70-fold. Now, that's the kind of individual that you would want to step away from, because lightning might strike. the ideal, the plan, one man, one woman for one lifetime. Lamech says, nope, that's not good. I want to follow multiple wives. We then learn in Genesis chapter 29, I won't take time to turn there, but in Genesis chapter number 29, in verses 18 to 32, if you'd write this in your notes, the Bible says that Jacob loved Rachel. But at the time of the wedding, the father pulled the old switcheroo. And in that process of the wedding ceremony, instead of giving Rachel to Jacob, the one that he loved, the one that he desired to marry, the Bible says that Rachel's pulled back and Leah's put in. And the next morning, Jacob wakes up and realizes, this is not Rachel, this is Leah, oh my word. And so we, of course, then know the story of what took place with Rachel and Leah, sisters being married to Jacob. It wasn't enough that he would be married to sisters, but as they got into more and more of a combative situation, the Bible says that they gave Jacob, they each gave to Jacob their own maidservants. And the Bible says that now Jacob has four wives: Leah, Rachel, Zilpah, and Bilhah. Oh, this is working out great. You see, we always think that the stuff that is on talk shows in the afternoons is all new to our society, but this is ripped right from the headlines of today. Multiple wives, the first avenue by which men departed from God's original plans. Would you go with me to Genesis chapter number 16? Genesis chapter number 16. God said, one man for one woman for one lifetime. We see again and again in the scriptures where people chose to themselves or were deceived on this matter of multiple wives, but it went outside of what God originally intended. In Genesis chapter number 16, in verses 1 through 6, we find this idea of a surrogate mother. Look what the Bible says in chapter 16, verse number 1. And Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. This is kind of both of these matters. Multiple wives and a surrogate. And the Bible says there in verse number 4, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Again, for whatever reason, to this point, God had closed the womb of Sarai. And so they ran ahead of God's timetable. There's so much to be said about chapter 16. Abram should have said, no, Sarah, let's be patient. Let's trust God. He's made a promise that our seed will be as the stars of the heavens and the sand of the sea. Let's trust God. But they did not trust God. Sarah said, here, take my handmaid, and maybe she will bear a child, and then that child will be mine, and we'll raise it as though it's ours. I do not have time to go into the great depths of how this decision right here still has an impact on you and me in 2019. They made a choice that was outside of God's original intent, one man, one woman, one lifetime. Let's go further. We not only have multiple wives and a surrogate mother. Go with me to chapter 19 of Genesis. This is perhaps one of the saddest chapters in all of the Bible. On so many levels, I cannot even imagine living in a society that is like this, or forcing my family to be trained up in this kind of society. If you're not at all familiar with Genesis chapter number 19, you should go home today and at some point in time this week, break this chapter down. I do not have time this morning. But right here, we are introduced to same-sex relationships. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 that Lot spied out the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he saw that the land was well watered, and he thought, this is pleasant. I'm going to move my family in that direction. And the first thing that we see from Lot is he's looking towards Sodom. The Bible says then that he begins to lodge near Sodom. Then he's living in Sodom. Then he becomes an official in Sodom, and it cost him his whole family. Well, what happened in Sodom? The Bible says that the sinfulness of Sodom and Gomorrah comes up before Almighty God, and he says, I'm going to destroy these two cities for their exceeding great wickedness. What was that wickedness? Listen to me. Same-sex relationships. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 19 and verse number 1 through 11, there came two angels to Sodom and even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your ways. Lot knew the nature of the city, and he said, Boys, it's not safe for you to be out here. Turn in. The Bible says that it goes further. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Lot knew full well that wasn't safe. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, listen to this carefully, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. They were so debauched in their thinking. They were so sick and tired of what they had offered to them in their flesh every single day that when these new individuals came in, their first thought was, How can we physically abuse these two that have come? What is the ideal? The ideal is one man for one woman for one lifetime. How did man depart from that ideal? They departed with multiple wives. They departed with a surrogate mother. They departed by having this great yearning for same-sex relationships. Take your Bibles and go with me to Romans chapter number 1. Because there are those in our society that claim to have the same-sex relationship, and yet they're in good standing with Almighty God. They're claiming this morning that they are good Christians, even though they're involved in a same-sex relationship. Can I show you from the Scriptures that it's not just a matter in the Old Testament? Will you go with me to Romans chapter 1? Will you see with me this morning what the Bible says? The Bible says that that kind of a relationship is actually towards the end of the full rejection of the knowledge of Almighty God. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The Bible says they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. Go down with me, if you would, to verse number 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. You see, my friend, this is not simply an Old Testament issue. This is an issue in the New Testament day in which we find ourselves. And God is as against the same-sex relationship today in 2019 as he was back in Sodom and Gomorrah. An individual has declared in the public forum that if we're not happy with his homosexuality, that we should take it up with his creator because it's his creator's fault. Can I be very clear on this point? God does not make anyone in such a way so as to preclude them because of their sin where they cannot be saved. My friend, understand that this lifestyle is actually the end of the full rejection of Almighty God and the knowledge of Him as their Creator. It's the ending point. It's not the starting point. Pastor, this doesn't sound like it's a real politically correct message. I understand. You better tighten the chin strap. It's going to get tougher. Man, or God, desired one man for one woman for one lifetime. Man said, no, I don't think that's a good plan. I think multiple wives is the way to go. Man said, no, I don't think that's a good plan. I think a surrogate wife or surrogate mother is the way to go. Man said, I don't think that's a good plan. I think same-sex relationships are the way to go. Would you go with me to Proverbs chapter 5? Proverbs chapter 5. Man has stepped out of the one man for one woman for one lifetime. Proverbs chapter 5, what has occurred now in society and is still occurring. Proverbs chapter 5, a proverb that perhaps you and I should be investing with as it relates to our sons, because they need to be aware of these circumstances that are well and alive in our current day. Proverbs chapter 5, would you look at verse number 3? For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of her life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto another, unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the matter of prostitution. Individuals that will step out of the one man and one woman for one lifetime to satisfy their fleshly desires. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. God said, one man, one woman for one lifetime. Man said, no, that's not good, God. We believe that we should take this step of prostitution, selling the body that physical pleasures might be satisfied for a time. Turn over to Proverbs chapter number 7. Proverbs chapter number 7, would you look at verse number 6? Proverbs chapter number 7 and verse number 6. The Bible says, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. And subtle of heart, she's loud and stubborn, her feet bide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she called him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day, I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings and tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill with love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. Adultery. God said, one man for one woman for one lifetime. Man said, no, God, we don't like that. We want two wives. Man said, no, we don't like that. We want a surrogate wife, a surrogate mother. No, God, we don't like this plan. We want to have same-sex relationships. God, we don't like this plan. We want to follow through on prostitution and purchasing what our flesh desires. God, we don't like this. We would prefer to have this adulterous relationship, and we call it a fling or an affair, and we dumb it down. Would you go with me further to 2 Samuel chapter number 11? 2 Samuel chapter number 11. I believe that you can see all of the avenues that man has chosen to walk away from God's original intent. In this passage, we have multiple things playing a part in this story. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. It came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David already has multiple wives. He's already stepped out of what was God's ideal. And now he looks out upon a roof and he sees Bathsheba. And the Bible says he finagles a way to be able to sync up with her. And they have relations. And in having relations, she sends a note back to David. And verse number 5, and the Bible says, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. This is children conceived out of wedlock. And David, of course, goes further and kills Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. He tries to further hide what has transpired with murder. Would you go with me further to Matthew chapter number 19? Matthew chapter number 19. There is so much to be said on this matter. And I know that the world would probably not tolerate the listening of this kind of a message. But as we depart from Genesis 1 and 2 into Genesis 3 and we see the effect of sin, we must then acknowledge that everything else that flows is a result of sin. Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 3, and the Pharisees also came unto him, speaking of Jesus Christ, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God joined together, let not man put asunder. They said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. God said one man for one woman for one lifetime, and man made poor choices. And we find divorce now has an effect upon society. Almost 60% of marriages end in divorce. Almost 85% of second marriages end in divorce. Go with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1. I said we do a little bit of traveling this morning. This is a lot more than we normally do. But But I want you to see these verses for yourself. And perhaps for some, it's hard to hear these verses. And that's why I take you back to the first message. You must believe that God has given His Word and that His Word is absolutely infallible. Say, Pastor, I don't like what I'm reading. Well, I understand. None of our flesh likes what we're reading. But God is telling us the truth. In Jeremiah chapter 1, would you look with me at verse number 5? Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5, and I've already made the statement, I believe with all of my heart, that back in the 1970s when they tried to convince individuals that it was just an unwanted body part that was growing in the womb, that it was a fetus. Perhaps in 1970, and the Roe v. Wade decision, perhaps you could have escaped the knowledge of the truth because science had not yet reached the level to which it's reached today. But as I look at what is taking place with 3D and 4D type ultrasounds, and you see high definition, and in a very short period of time you hear the heartbeat. I just read this morning that those that are in favor of abortion are not even willing to call it a heartbeat. They call it some kind of flutter in the womb. In a brief period of time, that baby has a developed heart. In a brief period of time, that baby has a developed sensing system. It sleeps, it eats, it develops fingernails, it has all of its digits. And again, what is happening? Those babies are surviving earlier and earlier. The truth of the matter is, technology is outpacing their argument that this is not a baby, that this is not a life. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5, you say, Pastor, why do you come back to this matter of conception over and over again? Well, look at what God said. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You see, I believe that God sees that that baby in the womb is significant, is alive. Can you believe that in the United States of America, that we actually have an individual that is sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States of America, and she made this statement, a woman that is with child is not yet a mother. Now, I know many ladies that have had children, that have gone home to be with the Lord before they ever breathe a breath on this earth. And I dare say they sure look at themselves as being a mom. I know when my wife and I went to that doctor for the first time and we had great excitement, and my wife shares with me, Todd, I think I might be pregnant. The whole time we're in that process of pregnancy, I know my wife was a mom. Why? She's giving life to this baby that would be born. Well, now we have this entire argument that's being made that it's only a life so long as it's wanted. And I cannot believe what came from the mouth of our governor right here in the state of Virginia. When the baby's born, the mother and her doctor will have a conversation while they make the baby comfortable. We are well beyond taking the life in the womb. And now we're actually having a baby born and deciding whether or not it's going to be valuable. My friend, I'm sorry. But the arguments that this is just another piece of tissue in the womb that just happens to be there, I'm sorry, but technology is just proving you to be a liar. Because it is, in fact, a baby. And it is a life. And I am saying to you this morning that America will reap where it has sown to the abortion industry. And 60 million babies have gone into eternity.
You say, Pastor, I just believe it should be left up to a woman. And that's what one presidential candidate is saying right now. Well, I just think that it's a woman's decision, and I trust women to make the right choice. Well, I believe in choice. If you do not want to be pregnant, then don't go down that path to get pregnant. There's your choice. You say, well, Pastor, that's terrible. That's cruel. Do you know that there are people that were raped in the scriptures and they had a baby as a result of that rape? As horrible as that rape was and as difficult as it was in that process, but God went on to use that baby in a wonderful way. Why? Because it's a life. And God values life. If you would take 5 minutes to do some kind of level of research to read about the lady that is behind Planned Parenthood and how much of a racist she actually was, because she saw abortion as a way to ruin races so that they not get too populous and overwhelm our society. Say, Pastor, I can't believe that. Do you know what I can't believe? That we're giving millions of dollars to them every single year. Why not give adoption a chance? We have so many people that would love to adopt a baby. Why not exhaust all of those resources first before the time comes that we'd ever take a life? But this is where we are in America. I've shared some pretty hard things with you this morning from the scriptures. And I know that this is not easy to hear. God has the ideal of one man and one woman for one lifetime. But these 8 things that I've mentioned this morning have all moved us away from what God originally intended. I'll close the message this way. Would you take your Bibles and go with me to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9? I just heard this morning that a political candidate has as her platform for becoming president of the United States, that if she is elected, she will absolutely outlaw any kind of education that would seek to change a person from their homosexual lifestyle, their transgendered lifestyle. And by the way, God never makes a mistake with a son and with a daughter. He identified them in their beginnings and called them a boy and a girl. He didn't make a mistake. But she said, if she's elected president, she will absolutely forbid anyone in society from helping individuals come out of their homosexual or transsexual lifestyle. Do you know who she's directly talking about? You and me. Because when we present Jesus Christ to someone, Jesus Christ comes into the life and cleans up the act and points them to the truth of Scripture. Can I share with you this one verse? 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. If we confess our sins... What have I shared with you this morning? A wide variety of the sins that are the direct result of man's disobedience to God. Perhaps one or more of you find yourselves in one of these 8 arenas. Say, Pastor, I wish that I could go back and change it. I have this in my past. I have this in my background. I have this in my background. I have this in my background. Pastor, I wish I could go back and change it. Would you read the verse again with me? If we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Perhaps one of these eight things that I've shared with you this morning that I know are difficult, perhaps you'd say this morning, Pastor, I'm in that arena. Do you know that forgiveness can be found? When you read Psalm 51 and you read the statements that David made as a result of his adulterous relationship and to the baby that was born out of wedlock, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from mine every stain. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." When you read the statements of Abraham and the deep regret in his life over the lack of trust and confidence in Almighty God, when you read the statements of individuals from the Scriptures that made poor choices, Judah and Tamar, when you read of these individuals and you look at them and you say, "Oh, I know and understand that they would go back and change those choices if they could, but we cannot go back." But what we can do is come to the cross of Calvary and receive forgiveness. And God washes our slate as clean as it can be. And we do what's right by God from this day forward. Let the man that is without sin cast the first stone. You know, around the foot of the cross, there were harlots that had been changed by Jesus Christ. You know, at the foot of the cross, there have been murderers that have been changed by Jesus Christ. Do you know at the foot of the cross there have been drunkards that have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Pastor, what you've read this morning from the Scriptures is very hard for me to hear because I find myself in one or more of those positions. My friend, would you please leave with this understanding that does not have to be the end of your story. There's forgiveness in Christ. And from this day forward, you can be the man or woman that God would have you to be. We would not do justice to the Scriptures if we did not acknowledge that in restoring what God originally desired, man has chosen to step outside of the one man for one woman for one lifetime and has come up with all different kinds of a better plan. And let me ask you this morning, where has that gotten us in society today? I believe we would do ourselves well to restore marriage back to the Bible. Let's pray.